To all of our campuses and online family, hey, I want to welcome you to a great service here at Resonate Church. Hey, I just want to pause and just welcome every guest that are here. Hey, could we put our hands together and just welcome our guests? Okay, yeah, let's welcome them. So glad that you're here. And for some of you who are realizing in our campus in Hayward and Oakland, maybe you're like, you're looking around like, oh, you look like a guest. They're not guests. They're people who slept one more hour to come to the second service when they first come to first, all right? So these are, hey, welcome first service people. Like, welcome. So glad you're joining us today. I'm glad you came. Hey, we are in a series called Seek First the Kingdom, and I want to tell you a story about a great kingdom building that's actually happening in the state of Missouri. In the state of Missouri, these people are building the kingdom. I mean, it's pretty quite stunning. In fact, their worship services every Sunday last 4 hours. 4 hours. And they're in it to win it every single Sunday. Would you believe that their auditorium has 75,000 seats? And every single one, every Sunday, is filled. I mean, it's pretty incredible what they're doing to build out their kingdom. In fact, every single person that comes to the church on that Sunday tithes. They all give. In fact, you can't even get in through the doors if you don't tithe. In fact, their annual revenue every single year is $591 million. And every single cent goes into fulfilling their mission and to advance the kingdom. Now, their fans, their people, their worshipers are really loud. They're incredible. I mean, they scream and shout to the glory of their team. I mean, their lead pastor, Pastor Pat, is a charismatic leader. And many people come surrounding and cheering him on and seeing victory week after week. In fact, these people, these worshipers are so committed that oftentimes it takes 1 hour to even get out of the parking lot of their church. I mean, seriously. And yet, if you interview every single one of them and say, man, how do you deal with that? They would say, it's all worth it. It is all worth it. No problem. We'll do this over and over and over again. They are building the kingdom. The kingdom. Chiefs kingdom. This is what they're doing. They're building. You know, the Niners have their own version. We call it the nation, the Niner nation, right? And whether you're building the nation or a kingdom, today I want to talk about building another kingdom, God's kingdom. I believe God has called us, Resonate Church, to build the kingdom of God and seek him first. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, would you turn to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. And I hope at the end, we would all say it's worth it. It's worth it. That we would put all the other kingdoms that are being built in America around the world to shame in light of seeking God first and his kingdom. And if you would, in all of our campuses, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? And I'll pray once again that the Holy Spirit preach a better message than the one that we're about to hear from me today. Matthew 6, verse 33, this is the word of the Lord. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That is the word of the Lord for this great Sunday morning, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Please have a seat. I want to extract three truths that we find in this short passage as we're working through it. And they're immense, and they are actually a command for us, our entire church, a commissioning of sorts. First, we must recognize that God is the king of his kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. He is the king. He is the king of his kingdom. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Greek word here for kingdom is basileia. That might sound familiar to you. It directly translates to the meaning of reign and rule. And God makes no apologies. And then from the get-go, he says, this is not your reign, your rule, your kingdom. You are second. I am first. He says, in my kingdom, it is my righteousness, not your ways. It's not your righteousness, it's my ways. He says, it's my rule, my reign. And when you say you are in my kingdom, you are abiding, you are trusting, and you are for what I am doing. My agenda rules, my glory rules, my reign rules, my banner rules. This is what it's saying to say, I am part of the kingdom of God, and I seek him first. You see, when you and I went to school, well, if you grew up at the time that I grew up, we went to elementary school, we sat down, and the teacher would take roll call, and right after that, we all would stand, put our hands over our hearts, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. We would say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic to which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. We would do this every single day, and we would do it because we are committing and pledging our allegiance to our country to say that whatever the core values of our country is, whatever the direction the country is going, however formed our country, the history of our country, to the ones that are building our country, we're saying we are behind it and we are for it. And so when there are people who want to be a part of our country and want to become citizens, they too have to go through a process where they go take classes, they learn the history, they learn the Constitution, they learn the values of our country, and when that glorious day comes and they stand in front of the flag, they too will put their right hand over their hearts and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And when God tells us, seek first my kingdom and his righteousness, essentially, every single one of us are doing the same. Like today, we are putting our hands over our hearts to say, I pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. You are the king. You are second to none. You are my God, and we serve you. Because once we put our trust in Jesus Christ, immediately we transferred our allegiance and our citizenship to a temporal world to our eternal world. That one day that transfer happened from a kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amen? Amen? You and I are part of a kingdom of light. And we are to shine this light as bright and as glorious as God is. This is the call. This is the function. It's his rule, his reign, his authority. And we, in glad submission, fall under that because he is a good, good king. By the way, do you know, in the kingdom of God, he rules as a dictator? That's right. God is a dictator. There's no democracy in the kingdom of God. There's no suggestion boxes. All right, there's no voting. No, God is a dictator. But yet, you and I are triggered because throughout history, because the fallenness of men and women, we are sinful. And of course, every dictator eventually became evil, like Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Kim Jong-il, whoever it is. They took account of their own personal interests and ruled and reigned in ways that were terrible. Well, you know what? God is a good God. He is a good king, and he cannot rule with injustice because he is a just God. Amen? He is a good God. He is a gracious God, compassionate, kind, merciful, and just. And this God reigns as a dictator. He wants to rule over you with all wisdom, with all power, with all authority, saying, my people will be taken care of, my people will be loved, and my people will sing over my anthem, my banner, my rule. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. By the way, this reigning king, this dictator, happens to be our dad. He is a good, good dad, isn't he? Isn't he a good, good dad, giving gifts and grace and mercy and salvation to all who cry out, please adopt me. And so therefore, when an Olympian wins a gold medal and they get to stand on the highest podium where it says one, and they lean over and they get the gold medal around their neck, all of a sudden, next, something else happens, an anthem. Anthem is sung. Notice that not a single Olympics, they lean over and say, what kind of anthem would you like to play? What kind of song? Do you have any requests? We have a great jukebox here and we could play whatever your song is. Is it Happy by Pharrell? Are you happy? that goes up, or maybe from Cool in the Gang. Celebrate good times, come on. Is that it? No. Over you comes the national anthem. And as the national anthem plays, these athletes who are victorious starts weeping and crying and clutching their gold medal in great pride, not because of their personal accomplishment, but who they represent. You see, their goal is greater than that of a personal accomplishment. Their goal is that they made their nation proud. And as believers of Jesus Christ and believers and citizens of another kingdom, we live not for our personal victory, but we live for the victory of our Lord Jesus and his kingship and his reign and his rule. And the anthem that plays behind us is his worship. It is his glory. This is why he provides you all things. It says, do not be anxious. It says, see first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, because it's essentially about me. I provide you all things so that you could actually not have any distractions to glorify me. Now, listen. Some of you might be saying, wait a minute. Are you saying that God says, seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto us? He gives us all these things as an ulterior motive so that we might exalt him, that he might be exalted himself? Is God so self-centered? Man, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. That's what God is saying today. He's like, that's right. I created you to exalt me. This is his agenda. He is glorified. He is worshiped. God exists to exalt himself. Well, if you have trouble with that, I would just simply ask fairly. I mean, a follow-up question. I mean, who else would you rather him exalt if it's not him? You? You want God to bow down to you? You want God to bow down to me or Mother Nature, whoever it is? God forbid. At any point God would surrender and bow down to anybody else or something else, he would forfeit to be God and unworthy of exaltation. That's what it means to be God, that he is the center of the universe and our universe. You and I are clearly second. He is first. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, Romans 28 happens to be a Christian's favorite verse. And so many of us in all of our campuses know this verse. It basically goes like this in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now we love this verse because the part that you remember and memorize is all things work together for good, right? You love that part. I love that part too. But do you know there's a second part that none of us realize? The second part is this, that God does all those good because you're called according to his purpose. Once again, it ain't about you. I know you thought it was. Oh, for my good. No. It's for his purpose. He wants to work through you. This is his heart. So the question naturally then is, what is his purpose? If you're taking notes, the second thing, God's purpose is to expand his kingdom. He wants to expand his kingdom. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. Our primary reason why we're here is not because we want to make disciples who make disciples, even though we do. We're not here together as Resonate Church because we want to plant churches, even though we do. What is our ultimate end? What is it? Well, could I offer you a word of discouragement this morning? Ready? Here it is. One day, our beloved church will die. Do you know how I know that? Every single one of his church dies eventually. In fact, look at all the churches that Apostle Paul wrote to. Church of Ephesus and Colossae and the Philippi and the Corinthians. All the people that he wrote to in the Bible, you know where they are? They're gone. They're gone. They're nowhere to be found. In fact, if you go to the Middle East, you'll see that there are a pile of rebels and maybe a couple of Corinthians that are actually columns that are standing. That's it. You see, so every church eventually dies. In fact, they did the faithful work of blazing a trail for us to now run on. But today, all those churches are all but a rubble. So if planting churches and making disciples is not the ultimate purpose of God, then what is? His kingdom. His kingdom is. In fact, Revelation 5:9. I want you to see this. It's in Revelation because it's in our future. He says, "Worthy are you, Jesus, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom, and they shall reign on the earth." Now, this is a beautiful picture of the very purpose you and I have. And I want you to notice this, because every time we read the book of Revelation, we think it is the hopeful future that one day we are going to encounter. And that's partially true. But can I encourage you, to God, this is as certain as if it happened yesterday. Do you see? And let me explain this to you. Your head might hurt, but I'm going to try anyway. All right, ready? Embrace yourselves. Listen, God is outside of time. In fact, he created time because God is eternal. And you and I, for now, live in the space of time. It's a finite time, and therefore, we have a past, and we have a future, and we have a present. But for God, because he's infinite and because he's outside of time, he is always present. There's no past with God. There's no future with God. He's always present everywhere, whether it is our future or our past. He is present because he's outside of time. He created the construct of time so that we could live in time, but he's outside of it. When Moses asked God, "What is your name?" He said, "I am that I am." He's saying, "Listen, fool, I am present and I am present. I am a person of all eternity." That's what he's saying. And so when you and I live life, we live as if we're walking through and like watching a movie from one scene to the next. We don't know what's coming up. For God, he's reading our lives like on a film strip because he's Alpha and Omega. And so he gets to see all of life all at the same time. Do you know one day we'll be in eternity also, and we won't have a past, we won't have a future, because there won't be a sun. There won't be night. All there will be is not tomorrow or past, or the only thing that we'll have is now. Now, all of eternity, we will be in the presence of God, present. That's what it means. And this is a picture. Listen, Revelation is a picture of the utter presence of God in this moment that you and I one day will taste and face. And this is precisely the purpose to which Jesus comes. You see, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said to them as he was approaching, starting his ministry, he says, "I must preach the good news of," say it together, "the kingdom," yes, "of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." It's his purpose. And this purpose continues through the book of Acts. In fact, when you read Acts chapter 1, Jesus comes back after he was dead, buried, he resurrected. He spent the next 40 days with his disciples proving, talking about one subject. This is what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the what? The kingdom. That's the only thing that he talked about. The kingdom. I thought the book of Acts was all about church planting. It's not. It's about the kingdom. See, that's the very beginning of the book. When you go to the very end of the book of Acts, in chapter 28, at the very last verse, this is how the book of Acts closes. See, Paul there, he finds himself in Rome for 2 years, and he's not in a condo just with a Mai Tai in his glass, and he's not enjoying retirement, but he's under house arrest, in imminent death, and believing that he was gonna die, he didn't request last meal or comfort. Verse 30 says this, "He lived there," Paul, "for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming" what? The kingdom of God, and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now listen, let me ask you, what do you think? That's the bookend of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 is all about the kingdom. Acts chapter 28 is all about the kingdom. What do you think the content of Acts is about? The kingdom. It's about the kingdom. And this is why you and I, as we further the mission of what is written historically in the book of Acts, Resonate Church's purpose is to seek God's kingdom. His kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. But here's the problem today. In the churches of America, we didn't make our ultimate goal the kingdom, but we've always made the ultimate goal about building the church. Not the kingdom, but the church. Do you know how I know this? Two reasons, real quick. First is, look at the strategy of what we do to actually build the church. We always get like a good communicator preacher, and then we always like get a good band, and then we have a social media presence, you know, try to get the word out. And man, sometimes the church would even have the gall to go as far as to provide coffee and donuts. Could you believe? My goodness, the gall of these people to attract people so that they could stay, you know, to build a church. I mean, this is what they do. Here's the second problem that we see in the American church today. We reduce the kingdom into a small department called missions. Missions. It's a department reserved for spiritual weirdos, okay, who get the special ops training to be sent. It's like, you know, the Marines, the special ops that paint their face and do one of these out of the water, you know? You know what I mean? That's like the missionaries in the church. You're like, Like, come on. That's not what it is. The rest of us, though, you know, the normal Christians get to join small groups and give money and, you know, serve once in a while. But we leave the missions to the hardcore people. You know what I mean? That's so dumb. Do you know what I think we should do as a church? We should get rid of the S on the word missions. You know why? Because there's in the Bible, there's no such thing as missions. There's only one mission. And the church only has one mission. And the mission was enacted in Genesis 3 when we needed redemption after our fall. And ever since then, until the book of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 21 and 22, then the mission will end. And all God's glory and all of his banner, all of his praise and all of his worth will be experienced by the account of all of his people that will be singing his anthem, not ours. Amen? Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is. One. Mission, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. So then the next question is, how do we expand this kingdom? Third point, God uses his church to expand his kingdom. He uses every church in the world to expand his kingdom. Now in the American church, our version of mission is to post something, an event on social media and send out mailers. And listen, that might still work in the Bible Belt. Okay, that might still work in the Midwest. I'm gonna tell you, it won't work here. And it won't work in the rest of the world. I mean, try going to Afghanistan and putting out mailers. Let me just tell you how it's gonna end. Not well. All right, it's not gonna go well. All right, so what did Paul do though? This is what Paul did. The biblical missiology looks like this. He didn't just do Bible studies, hand out flyers. He equipped them and sent them to every town with the gospel. In fact, Ephesians 4 says, he did it through equipping the saints. By the way, the word saints in the Bible is are Christians for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. And what that means is it is not, listen here, the people of God. It is not the job of a pastor or an elder to do missional work. It is the Christian's job to do that. Every single one of us. It is the Christian's job. It is given to the job of a Christian. To consider yourself a Christian and not seek God first means something is not calibrated rightly. Something is wrong. That you live as a Christian and you have been a receiver of God's grace, but you think it ends with you, grace? No, God gave you grace so that you could spread that grace. And if you don't understand that, there's something wrong with our doctrine. There's something wrong with our faith. And I don't think there's something wrong. I just think probably you're too busy building your kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And this is how that looks like, you know, that somehow as you build your kingdom, God has been reduced to be a contractor in your kingdom, building your kingdom. That's the picture of God that you have. And here's how I know, because this is how often we actually approach God. When we approach God, we always say, okay, this is a blueprint in the design of my life. I drew it up, God. Now, would you build that? Isn't that what we do? We pray to the end of what we think our life should be instead of bringing a blank sheet of paper and say, Lord, you draw my blueprint of how I could build your kingdom for you. You show me the blueprint of your kingdom and let me know where I fit in, because I am a soldier of Jesus Christ and I will serve you. Your banner flies over me. Your praise, your glory is to my end, nothing else. I am second, you are first. Two people clapped on that one, which means I'm gonna shout even louder until the rest of you get it. All right, this is the work of the ministry that God has called us to. And this matters because there's only two continents in the world where Christianity is declining. And we're sitting in one of them. With all the resources, money, seminaries, and training and scholars, we are not doing what other continents like Africa, South America, Asia are doing. Europe and North America are the only two continents that are declining in Christianity. So here's the question. Ready? What does it look like for you and me to seek first the kingdom, knowing all things will be added unto us? What kind of edits would you have to make in your life currently today to make him first in your life? To ask for the blueprint of the kingdom of God rather than showing him your blueprints of your preferred life. What does that look like? What would it look like for the kingdom of God to advance 1% in our generation here in the Bay Area? Roughly, there are 8 million people that live in the Bay Area. And if we were to conservatively say that only 10% of our people, that's super conservative, because we know, like in certain cities that we are a part of, there are less than 2% Christians. But say 10%. Then that means there are still 7.2 million people in the Bay Area that does not know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And far worse than that, there are 8 billion people in the world and 6 billion people do not know of his saving grace. And every single one of them are people like you and me. They're fathers and mothers, they're uncles and aunties and students and children. And without the gospel being told to them, without the Holy Spirit confronting them, without somebody being the feet and the hands of the good news of Christ, reaching them, going after them, they, every single one of them in our generation, will die and be condemned to a place, a burning place called hell. And listen, there are a lot of tragedies in this world that we see. I mean, you've seen them, right? Right? A turtle that's caught in a net, how tragic, right? You've seen that. A little seal pup that comes out, they're drenched in oil. Man, that's tragic. You know what's the most tragic? 6 billion people destined in eternity away from the good grace of our God. There's nothing more tragic than that. And God says, seek first my kingdom, and all the rest will be added unto you. Don't worry about it. I got that. Now, this is your purpose. This is your design. So how do we expand God's kingdom? And this is what Seek First Journey is all about. Listen, we are on a journey for the next 2 years. And man, we're not going to play passive. Man, if you want to just chill in a comfy sofa and watch us online, man, this ain't the church for you. Because we're going to mobilize people. Because we seek first the kingdom of God. And this is what it looks like. We're calling them the exponents. The exponents of 100,000, 10,000, 1,000, 100, 10, and 1. So first, 100,000. Say 100,000. 100,000. Yes. Sharing the gospel. 100,000 times we'll share the gospel this year and every year for the next 5 years. And if you call Resonate Home, every single week, we're going to challenge you to just share the gospel with somebody. Now, by the way, if we all did it, of all the thousands of people that gather as resonators, if we just did it one time a week, 52 times a year, listen, we would far surpass, okay, 100,000. But we could do this. And I believe if we do it, then the world around us, our neighborhood, our families, our workplace will change for the glory of God. This is what I really believe. Yes. Listen, and we're going to use the BLESS model. And we've taught it to you. A friend of mine came up with it. It's brilliant. B stands for be prayerful if you pray for that person. Or L, listen. Or E, eat with them with intention and serve them. And the last one is to tell your story to them. That all matters in you sharing the gospel with them. And together, I believe God will use us to change the world and to build his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Say 10,000. Okay, 10,000 acts of service in our city. And what this is we say we're a church for the city. Every resonate church that goes into a city, we're gonna be for that city. What that means is we don't extract the benefits from that city, we become the benefit to that city. And that our hope is the grace that has been so lavish towards us that we will grace those people who are undeserving and that we be compassionate to our cities. And so much so that every member of that city would know of our church and say, that's the weirdo church. That's the church that just helps us and loves us and cares for our city in extravagant ways. And that's the hope. We have all these different programs and things that we're going to do to bless it. Say 1,000.
1,000.
Okay, 1,000 people on foreign soil, resonators. Every time we go on foreign soil to bless our global partners, and this is my hope, that for the next 5 years, 1,000 of us will go on foreign soil. Here's the reason why. Because every time we go, those people that are on the ground, boots on the ground in Timbuktu, we will go there and they're like, my goodness, I have not been forgotten. That's what we need. That kind of encouragement they will receive from us just showing up. But secondly, your lives will change by going. You know how your kids, your students, your children go to VBS and student camp and their lives are changed? And do you know why we as adults are so slow to change? Because we don't have adult camps. We're creating adult camps through mission trips. This is what it is. It is adult camp for you. All right, so yeah, for the short price, small price of several thousand dollars, you're gonna be able to go on these mission trips and your lives will be changed. We'll go everywhere. We've already gone to 3 this year. It's only March. It's only picking up. Say 100. 100 engagement in the mission. And what this means is our church is large and we have all these stands and people watching. And 100% of people that call resonate their home, we want to encourage you collectively together with one emphasis. Could we build the kingdom of God, for his righteousness? Could you come down the stands? Some of us are on the ground. We are really running on the ground. We're on mission. Some of us are in the front row watching us on the ground. Some of us are row 5, section 101, section 201. Some of you are in the nosebleeds. Hey, glad you're here. But would you take several steps down? We call them next steps. Whatever it is, if you are not part of a missional community, man, would you join one? If you're not giving, would you just start giving? If you have not served our church or for our cities, would you start there? And that you don't have to all make a full-on decision for one day. That's not what we're asking. That's unrealistic. But whatever your next steps are, and every person's next step is completely doable when we say, it's not my blueprint, it's yours. And we're just gonna serve you. We're gonna walk according to how you're designing and building out the kingdom, not mine. We pray that every single person at Resonate Church will take next step. Could you imagine the testimonies that will come out of that? I mean, glorious life change that will come out of that, glorious. And I pray that God will give you the faith to take that step. Say 10.
10.
10 church plants and campuses. With our earnest prayer, as we make disciples and we send them on mission, we hope to plant 10 campuses and or of churches. Do you know that already right now we have in the oven 2 campuses and 1 church plant baking right now? One is in Vallejo, which you've heard. The one that you haven't heard is really exciting, is we're gonna actually plant in Milpitas, California. Oh yeah, we got some yeses. All right. And we are. And one of the grace that God has given us in the opportunity, by the way, we have hundreds of people coming from South Fremont, some far away from San Jose, coming up to come to our church. They passed 1,000 churches to get us to get here. Man, we want to say, will you not leave your city so that you could actually love your city? Will you make sure that the centrality of the gospel is preached there? And will you join that team? That team is getting large already, and we already, hopefully, and we're prayerfully asking for a place. And that place, a church has already offered and say, hey, would you come over and would you allow us to give you the building? And that Resonate will come, and that Resonate will actually be the church that will actually minister in this neighborhood for Christ's sake. We want to build a kingdom, and we want to build it with you. I mean, how? And we're planting a church in Castro Valley for the neighborhood of Castro Valley. And yeah, okay. And man, some of you in Hayward and some of you in Oakland, some of you here in Fremont need to go because that's what God is going to call you to. One last one, fully surrendered heart. Fully surrendered heart. And it's a surrendered heart, not a surrendered will. Because God's not glorified when you surrender just your will. Okay, God, you're forcing me to do it. I'll do it. Nobody's glorified by that. But a surrendered heart, a heart is like, Lord, you are worth it. I seek you first. All of my life, I've sought me first. Now I want to seek you first with all of my heart. Would you change my heart? I'll give up everything. C.T. Studd, who was an athlete that turned into a missionary, said once this, if Jesus Christ be God and die for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And that's true. So what is this going to take? I'm just going to quantify for you real quick. In our two-year journey, we're starting several initiatives, three, and we're going to raise $25 million. It's actually $10 million above what we already have, which means that if we did nothing, no discipleship journey, no initiatives, we would already have $15 million as income as we bring in our tithes and our offerings. But we're asking the entire church to engage and in faith put our trust and seek him first, and we're going to raise $10 million above that. And above that, with all the operations that are going on right now, we're trying to do this first. Our initiative number one is called Seek Discipleship, where we're trying to disciple all the generations from children to seniors. And we're going to try to build a playground for Res Kids in Hayward, in Fremont. And by the way, yes. And by the way, if you're not excited, well, why do we need a playground for kids, whatever, you have not served in Res Kids. All right? So just do me a favor. Serve 1 week at Res Kids. You'll be like, I'm going to give my money to the playground. It's true. We want to disciple our children. We have great content. We just need a little fun. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, we want to actually build out a facility for our next gen, our middle schoolers and our high schoolers. Okay, listen, they are an active group and they're growing. Currently, they're meeting in spaces that are not designed for them, and they're limited in their spaces. We're going to develop our counseling ministry in every campus. It's been so incredibly fruitful what God has done through that ministry, and we're going to resource it so the more people will be served for Jesus. And lastly, marriage ministry. Now, I'm not writing everything, all the stuff down. I'm just highlighting four here because we don't have all the time. But marriage ministry, because we believe the strength of families will essentially be the key to our discipleship in our churches. And so healthy marriages will be strengthening each family, and each family strengthened will make more disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Initiative number two is seek kingdom expansion. Not only are we going to fund the 10 campuses and church plants, but we're looking for solid 20 more global partners. We're also looking for a permanent space to lease for the Oakland campus, which I'm really excited about, because if you were here before the Fremont campus was established and before a Hayward campus was established physically, we were meeting in a mobile situation. We love that, but we just had no idea when we came into a facility like this how God would accelerate our mission. And this is the goal, not for comfort for our Oakland people. May we die for the cause of Christ. I'm not seeking for comfort, but I'm seeking missional acceleration. May we be most effective for the glory of God. And if we anchor a place in Oakland for the glory of God, for the people of Oakland, I believe that mission will be accelerated. We'll be also launching Milpitas and Vallejo in the coming months. And so that's incredibly exciting. Initiative three is Seek Welfare. We're spending millions to expand our street ministry, fostering kids, expanding special needs ministry to all of our campus, basically from womb to tomb, whatever it takes. Why? Because we're giving dignity to the people who are made in God's image. That's what it is, okay? Now, here's the thing. What if somebody, one of you, wherever you are, came up to me today and I'm like, Pastor, here's a check for $25 million. We're done. No more discipleship journey. I took care of the bill. I would say, no. No, we're going to do the discipleship. No, I'm going to take your check, by the way, but don't worry about that. No, we're going to do it because this is not a fundraising. This is a discipleship journey. See, if we aim at money, we'll probably get the money. But we aim at discipleship. Why? Because once you have a disciple, you give your life to it. You see, we're not just asking you to fund the harvest. We're asking you to be the workers of it. Yes. Yeah. Now, maybe some of you are feeling, man, inside, you're like, man, my head says, yes, first, seek first the kingdom. My heart is like, I'm not quite there yet. I just want to encourage you with this. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit wants to reach that 1% in the Bay Area?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you believe that that same Holy Spirit is in you?
Yes.
Okay, then that means you have everything necessary in order to grow that heart. All it takes is to stir something that's already inside you. You don't need to find something, an appendage or an outside idea to come into you. It's already in there. It's already baked in there. Disciples of Jesus Christ, the people of God, let's stir up something that's already inside of us. The Holy Spirit wants to do this. Will you partner with the Holy Spirit to do this? That's God's will for us. I'll close this way. I love telling this story because it's something that deeply convicted me. A missional calling that a video that I saw from a Mormon family. Do you know every Mormon family has this moment where an 18-year-old child, after they graduate, gets a letter from the Church of Latter-day Saints, and they get to read where they're going to be commissioned to for the next 2 years to be on mission for their God. And this one was filmed, and I was just watching it on YouTube, and all their uncles and aunties and grandpa and grandma, meemaw, beemaw, whatever you call your special people, they were all there. They're friends. And here's this 18-year-old girl nervously reading a long treatise of the Mormon church and how they believe that she's been made in the image, that she's been given, not only saved by this grace, but to share this grace with others. And at the end of the letter, and everybody's waiting, at the end of the letter, it shows you where she's going to go, where she's going to be commissioned to around the world. And she starts pausing, and everybody just leans in. And she finally says, and the Church of the Latter-day Saints commissioned you to Argentina. And right when she reads that, the entire living room just erupts in celebration and clap and love and applause and encouragement, saying yes, yes. Do you see what they're saying yes to? They're saying yes to their 18-year-old girl going away to another continent, okay, to serve their false god for 2 years. And my question for us today is, what are we willing to do for the truth when they are doing a lot more for a lie? What are we willing to do? And in my sober mind, I fear, and I'll just speak for myself, I can't imagine my 18-year-old daughter saying, Daddy, I'm going to go on a mission trip and go with this boy. I need all the uncles of our church to step up right now and give a prophetic word to my daughter. I hope that boy's name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. But then she would go, and I'm like, man, that'd be hard for me. But I would have to remember, this is the calling of the Lord. If she has the calling of the Lord, that may it never be that I prevent her from this calling, because she must not seek herself or seek me, but seek first the kingdom of God. And can we be a church where we not only celebrate those things, but also become those things? Because I'll tell you, every single person who goes to that worship service in Missouri and Kansas City says it's all worth it. Every single person that's part of the Mormon church says it's all worth it. People of God, you have received the truth of Jesus Christ, his grace, his propitiation, his justification, his redemption, his faith. He's given you those things, those truths. Will you now say, you are worth it? I pray with everything that I have that he is. Would you bow your heads with me? Christ, if you gave me 1,000 lives to live, I would give all, every single one of them to you, to seek you first. Help me to believe that I'm spending my life in the way that you want to, that I don't invite you to just bless my life, but that you invite me to bless you. That's the purpose to which why our church exists. This is why every single member here at Resonate, why they've come. Father, will you commission us to seek you first and all of your righteousness, and all these things, the other things that we might be consumed with, will be added unto us. Help us to believe that, because you're a good, good dad. You're a great, great king. You rule your reign. Your banner is over us today, and we celebrate Christ your son. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give him worship today. Hallelujah. Amen.